This is the True Faith Podcast, special edition. My name's Alex Hurst, joined by Tom, who has done the podcast with us before, and first time at Anth. Both of them are from Warhem 1892 fans group set up in this 16-17 season, and we're here today to talk to you about the new singing section at St James's Park for the 17-18 season. Very exciting stuff, I think, anyway. So Tom and Anth are going to answer a few questions, and we're going to talk through about why this the section's been set up. Where is it? What the plans are for the future, and all that kind of stuff. So, lads, easy question here. Tom, I'll start with you. When did the idea for the singing section come about? Like, when this was it? Been a long term aim, or was it something that just kind of happened? The season just gone.
Literally, just the season just gone. It was off the back of Gallagher flags and stuff like that, and you know the displays were phenomenal for Huddersfield when, you know, with the 500 flags or something.
All right, 548, but no one's counting.
But it looked amazing, and as soon as they went down on kickoff, like, everyone was like back in the seats again, and no one's really like up for it still. So I come off the back of that, we thought that in a singing section would just completely boost the ground, and if it boosted the ground, it's gonna boost the players. So
I think that was part of the reason that I got involved with Warhem. I think I'd seen Tom at one of the matches initially, and I was saying I was just standing singing by myself in a little section. I'm in the corner, and it was a welcome relief to have someone next to us going nuts as well. And when I realised they were talking about just improving the atmosphere, I think after all the discussions that we'd had within that group, its singing section seemed to come up more often than not, so I think that's where it took forward. We thought that'd be the right idea to get like-minded people within the section and take it from there, really.
I agree with you about that Huddersfield game, because obviously I was centrally involved, and we're putting, you know, everyone raised the money, and we kind of got, it's kind of well told story now, and I'm sure everyone listens to it already, but we'll say it again. When I was in America last summer and I started Gallagher Flags with Mick from True Faith, we thought we'd raise a grand or two, and we thought it would be a bit like Man City, where they've got that section with five or six big flags, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden we had like £8,000, £9,000, and then you get some great lads involved, and it all snowballed. The club were mint, and we're really, really proud of that display, but then we were so flat after that Huddersfield game, because our aim as well, well, it was, a singing section was never really in the cards in terms of our plans, but we were dead disappointed with the atmosphere. It was a shite game. Newcastle were shit. You know, it happens, but it was, and especially since the atmosphere pre-kickoff was so good, and a little bit of the gimmicky things which weren't, you know, I'll not even say not my idea, I wasn't planning on and wasn't sure about, but they worked, because people sang Meteor Was on Fire, and people did Hey Jude, and like, you know, not really my thing, that, you know, kind of that kind of, you know, here's your song, sing along, but it's a hell of a lot better than what we normally had. And the club told me we got about 30,000 to 35,000 people in the ground 15-20 minutes early, compared to 5,000 people. So yeah, it's nice to know that you lads kind of took that on a little bit, because we, I mean, it doesn't help that we had about 100 flags nicked as well, and people often fight with them outside the ground. But that Huddersfield, like, that game was a massive come down, because the atmosphere was so bad, and it wasn't just Gallagher flags, it was Rafa Benitez, it was the first game of the season, it was at home, it was a sellout, it was against what were considered to be a shit team at the time, Huddersfield, who obviously weren't, now a Premier League team. So yeah, it was a dead flat day, but it's good that something positive has come out of it.
Aye.
So when you just got together, Anthony, and talked about it, like you say, in a group, and you met Tom in the corner and stuff, what was the aim of kind of small section for what, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 people? Or was it much bigger than that? Or was it kind of see where we can go with this?
I think initially what we talked about was just getting, because we're all set, there's in the main group, there's about eight, nine of us. And then we tried to get a bit more of a wider group around with, so people that we'd seen on Twitter, for example, or people that we met at the match, had a bit carry on with them, and just tried to explain that we're trying to get a few people together and sing, basically. Obviously, we looked at the corner and the availability in there, as you'll probably see at this point in time, when if you're looking for a season ticket in there, you'll find that there's not many seats available. So we just explored other options, if you like. So it just went from there, really. We'd set up a membership scheme. So basically, if you like the idea of WarYem, then what you would do is just sign up for any updates or anything that we were doing, would sort of communicate out there. So if we wanted to meet in a pub before the game, then and start some chants in there, even on the lead up to St. James's, then we could do that. Not necessarily in the ground, but then, like I say, everything sort of came back to a singing section. Why do it outside the ground? We might as well get behind the lads in the ground as well. So we looked at that, saying from the core group, the members group, and then all of the members that had signed up, we just try to utilise people that would sing with us, basically.
Yeah, it went down a few paths. Like, when we set it up, we wanted a singing section, and that was like the main aim. But we also wanted to change the culture and the way people go about going to the match now. Like, you hear about all the older lads all the time, they go on about how good the atmosphere was when it was the terraces and in the 80s and whatever, in the 90s, and sort of like change the attitude when people go to the ground. They're not turning up getting your pies and sitting down, and I mean, if that's what you want to do, fair enough, but like, sort of show that there's another way. Like, if you want to be fanatical, you don't have to just sit down because you feel like a tit for standing up and singing your heart out. And
yeah, or be told to sit down or get grief for getting behind the lads.
Exactly.
I mean, that's an interesting point you raised there about culture. And I remember being 16 and we played Man U in the semi-final at Cardiff. Got a shite bus down, 8.5 hours or something mental like that. No alcohol. Got to Cardiff. Obviously, I think the bus has left Newcastle at 2:30 in the morning. So obviously you got to Cardiff nagged for an early kickoff, I think it was, because they're fair fucked with as per in from Newcastle. My main concern going to that game as a 16-year-old was, I'm not going to get a stand here. Because it was like, well, all the season ticket holders from St. James's Park. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the, I don't know if you were there, but it was one of the great, that's the only semi-final I've seen us play. And it's one of my best days for Newcastle. We got beat 4-1, obviously. But the atmosphere, every single Newcastle fan stood. And I left that game thinking, this is all the season tickets in St. James's Park. Why isn't every single home game like this? And these are questions which have probably been answered as the year's gone on, in terms of, you know, for a variety of reasons. But we've got it in as a fan base to make that kind of noise. And it's just so strange that, you know, you just hit the nail on the head there. Someone telling you to sit down. Mm. You just said, Tom, people making you feel awkward or uncomfortable or getting behind the team. How did we get from that those 36,000 in Cardiff going nuts for a shy team under Souness getting battered to what St. James's Park is like now? And it's like, I was going to move on to the question for one year. Do we need a singing section, or why do we need a singing section? But I kind of just answered it myself. Because you've got in St. James's Park, 52,000. Take away your corporate people who aren't going to join a singing section because they go to the match and they need what they need with the whatever. Say that's 5,000 people. Say you've got 3,000 away fans. We're on 8,000. So watch that bad mass here. 44,000. They've still got 44,000 Newcastle fans. If 20% of them wanted to be fanatical, as you put it, can you imagine the noise? Mm-hmm. So I suppose I'm answering the question before I've asked it. Is that the idea behind the singing section? Is it purely just to organise fans that want to sing and get them in one area and let those who don't want standing or people screaming or whatever?
Right, exactly. Anyone can go to the match and do whatever they want. If you want to go there and sit there and read a book, like, that's you. You've paid that money. You can do whatever you want. I think it's wrong. But we've got a really good away support, and we're getting, five to 6,000?
Yeah, some games are.
Just the season gone. Like, where were they at the home games? It was only a couple of hundred at the back of the corner, and these little pockets, there was a pocket in the upper Gallagher, and they'll be that level 7 with the young'uns up there. But if you can get all that into one place, it'll be booming. And you kind of no one can tell me that we don't need a singing section. There's a lot of it on Twitter. There's a lot of people on Twitter going, every part of the ground should be a singing section. Like, well, where are you? Like, stand up, yeah. Get yourself heard. But you look at you've got to go abroad when it comes to discussing about this. England has got a horrific home attitude when it comes to support now, and everyone. If I was to say to you now, who are the best fans in Europe? Dortmund.
Yeah.
You know, what they get 25,000 in one stand, standing up, flags, capos, drums, a lot of dislike the drums in this country, but you kind of say Dortmund is the best and not try and emulate them, and imagine the Gallagher as the black the yellow wall in Dortmund,
black and white wall.
No,
that's that. You're saying I agree with everything Tom said there. Just looking at so I agree. I think that's a short term for me. So it's just to get like minded people in a section, in a block, in a specific stand, just to sing, basically. Mm-hmm. The long term is to, like you say, you mentioned Dortmund there, you're saying the yellow wall, the mm-hmm. black and white wall. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see that. What you're saying, I know some people are not going to sing all the time, but if you have people that are on the vicinity of that section, then they're gonna carry on that noise. So you're going to have a group of people singing, but mm-hmm. then the long term is to have to basically branch out, just make it a little bit, well, a lot bigger. Hopefully, the full stand in the long term. Yeah. I think that'd be great. I'm off on a bit of a random one here, like, but I just remember like my first ever game. I can't remember anything that happened apart from looking back on YouTube videos and stuff, because it was a canny one, like Mick Quinn's debut, four goals. But I remember the only thing I remember about the thing, and I think that's why I'm passionate about the atmosphere, is the noise on the lead up to St James's. What I didn't realise until last year, though, is my dad was saying there was a bit of a protest around that time, apparently. Mm-hmm. Sacked the board and all that type of stuff. I mean, if that's true, I don't know. But
it's definitely true, yeah.
So you talk about why it's not there. I think you're saying it at times, yeah, St James is booming, but I think it's when there's something to kick off about. And I at that time, obviously, that was what was happening. But I thought, get in, look at this one. It's going nuts. Mm. And as a 4-year-old, you know what I mean? I was thinking, what's all this noise about? And I absolutely loved it. Mm. And I think that's where I got a little bit of the bug about the atmosphere from. Mm. I think I just remember my dad standing there and laughing at, because there was a few lads behind were like singing and stuff. I don't know where I was. And again, a few years back, he told us what it was. It was... They made a song up about Mick Quinn straight away. Something about him, he's round. Was found on number 9 or something,
right,
like that.
Someone tweeted in the Mick Quinn song for.
sorry, off on a random one, but it's just to show you that's. Yeah. You know, you're saying there's something to kick off about then.
Yeah. I've said for ages where the loudest when we're getting done over.
Mm-hmm.
Man. A good one was Man City when Toyota scored.
Yeah.
I'll
raise you by giving you an even less controversial thing. When Mitrovic got sent off against Arsenal under McLaren, the ground was unbelievable. Like that injustice, and that, like the Toyota one, was an absolute farce. And obviously it was a goal, but even something small like that red card, the rest of that game, I spoke to an Arsenal fan who was in the away end, who was like, "That's one of the loudest crowds I've beaten you when you were getting beat." And I'm like, it's not normally like that. Mm-hmm. It's just because everyone's so angry with the ref that we decided to support the team as a result. Like, it's a weird one, isn't it?
But it's sort of like, I think it sort of goes a bit further than that. If you people up here feel like they're getting done over a lot, if it goes into like deep rooted stuff, so I think that's where that'll come from. If we feel like we're getting done over, we'll shout loud about it. But you should be shouting just as loud when you're doing well.
Yeah.
You should be going, look at us.
So get behind the team rather than against the referee.
If I go back to the culture as well, and I'm going to reference Europe a lot because they just do it better than we. The players are very interactive with the fans. They'll come over after a game and they'll do the whole, like Liverpool. Klopp tried it with Liverpool and he got slated, which he shouldn't. You know, it was different for England, but you shouldn't really get slated for that, really. But at the minute, it sort of seems like they're coming out and they're entertaining me. And it's like this, it's like four TV screens, the size of the stands are in front of me. And it doesn't, I can say for a lot of people, it'll not feel like these are our lads, these are our players. I can see a lot of older people feeling like it's not the case anymore.
Well, I just think you've got to look at the abuse some of them get. I don't know about Europe, but I just can't see at Dortmund or at these other grounds those players getting the abuse our players get. And someone nailed it this year for me. I can't remember who it was. I don't know where it was, but someone said when we were talking on the podcast, they were like, I remember at St James's Park when it was the opposition who used to get the abuse, not us, not our own players. But just to bring it back to the section for a second, one of the points I've seen raised on social media is, why not just concentrate on the corner? It's already a second section.
Yeah, no availability. It's pitch side. There's no availability, and you can't just expect 1500. Can't just expect 1500 to just go, all right, now I'm going to move out the corner, so you can have your singing section. So you've got to look at a place where there's loads of availability, and it's not going to really intrude on other people's experience.
And then you can branch further from that as well.
Because it kind of annoy the majority straight away, because that's where it'll fall flat on its face. And hopefully where we've got it, it's not going to do that.
Yeah. So you've got one block at the back of the Gallagher, which is all a singing section.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got availability in those other blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to encourage those people that aren't in the singing section, if you like, or singing block. Why not make it the full stand?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the idea as well. We shouldn't mind saying now that, you know, the three of us and a couple of other lads, was it March, April?
That was around then.
We went into St James's Park to meet the people that mattered about a full singing section at the back of the Gallagher.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was, you lads might have to sort us out here, but was there 2,600 capacity?
Mm-hmm.
And there was 1,100 season ticket holders.
Yeah, roughly.
So that gave her maths again. 1,500 spare seats at the top of the Gallagher. Now, obviously, Newcastle have been promoted.
Mm-hmm.
So the season ticket, I don't know how season ticket sales have gone, but this, from social media, there seems to be big queues and stuff like that, and demand, and the box office website crashing. So that 1,500 might be decreased. And, you know, we've been given 243. If my maths is right, 243 seats in Block V of the Gallagher end, but that is the official singing section of St James's Park.
Yeah.
But like you say, what we're really hoping that if you can't get into that section, you just go to Block U or Block T or Block R or Block S.
Yeah, just get in the Gallagher up there, and hopefully, if not to annoy the people that don't want to be there, but if the people that don't want to be there want to move down more pitch side, like there's going to be so much availability closer on the pitch, or other parts of the ground. I know it's
in the corner, because we're all moving out the corner. So
there's a lot of people moving out the corner.
And that's the thing, isn't it, about the corner? Just to go back to my point before, when people call it a singing section, it's really not. And I'm in the corner, or have been until this season, been there 5 years now, and it's good. Best part of St James's Park, but I think one of you said 200. I don't even think it's that. You basically had 50 lads, maybe even at times 20 or 30, singing constantly. And that's what a singing section should be. It should be constant support.
Yeah.
Not when you cast lot 3-0 up and it's the 85th minute and you just want to get off. So you want to sing a bit. Mm-hmm. Not when the referee's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Not when, you know, Roy Keane tries to punch Alan Shearer. Like, it's about support. And I've talked about loads on the podcast, so I'll not go into it again. But the corner, for all its positives and its benefits, and it clearly is the best place at St James's Park to be before this season coming up. There's too many people that, for a supposed de facto singing section, as people are saying to use on Twitter, and I'm saying, well, the corner's already a singing section. It's not, because you wouldn't just have 20, 30 lads constantly trying to sing, and then the rest of the atmosphere being totally reliant on those factors we just talked about. In terms of the people that you know already that are moving to the singing section from your group, existing season ticket holders, or is it a mix, or, you know, where are these people coming from?
It's in, from my pals and stuff personally. It's about 75% of them current season ticket holders. A lot of them go to the away games, but they've been sitting in the leases. They're on a 10-year plan, and they moved down from level 7 thinking, oh, we're just going to carry on the singing section in here. Some of them went into the corner, but they're a little bit further down, so they're away from me at the back. My brother hasn't had a season ticket for 10 years or something, but he wants to come back because he wants to go to the match and sing. Mm-hmm. He can sit and go to the bar and watch the match on the dodgy tellies and stuff like that, but he wants to go and sing and support the team. So it's then there's 25% of my pals that are joining in there.
That's a huge number, like.
I'd say 25% of yeah. I don't know the number, but you're saying even if it's say 20 people or something.
I think overall, looking at the thing, it's about 90% are renewals.
Yeah.
And there's a we got a lot of messages saying it's the older lads that don't go anymore because they don't want to be associated with sitting down and, you know, shutting up and stuff like that. They don't enjoy that experience, so they stop going. So hopefully a lot of them will come back and go on the Gallagher Upper. Yeah. Because it'll be good to get the.
And so I think the thing to point out as well is it's a massive array of age ranges. So you're going from kids who are 16, 17, 18, up to blokes who are like 50, 60 years old who want to still stand.
I'm sure there's a 78 year old.
You're saying these are people wanting to
stand. We've seen a bit on Twitter. It was, you know, there's a lot of worry it's going to be, you know, like a lot of shoes off if you love the tune and, you know, a lot of Adam Johnson songs and whatever. But, It's not gonna be that. It's a wide mix, and it'll be really good if people who want to be up there just get stuck in. Really,
I mean, the time of recording. So there's about what, you know, how many people are already moved up by being associated with Gallagher's Flags and YM.
About 80, 90, something like that.
80, 90, which is a fair amount of people. Most of them from OEM. I think there's about, well, depending on who comes, but there's probably about 10 or 20, well, yeah, more than 10, but from Gallagher's Flags. But that's still a fair bit of availability. So maybe you are listening to this now thinking, well, it's sold out within 5 minutes. But we don't know. Maybe people won't move there because there is some negative stuff on social media, which there was always going to be. There's plenty of negative stuff about everything on social media. Doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah.
So it's I would just say get up there if you like supporting the team, if you listen to the podcast this season, you'll heard me and Si and the lads groan a million times about the shite, about getting on players' backs, about leaving, like, you know, turning up the match 10 minutes late, leaving 10 minutes early, coming back after half time. And you get the people who say, oh, you can't tell me how to be a fan. And as you correctly said, Tom, people can do whatever the fuck they want for me, but just if it negatively impacts on the team, then we are in direct conflict, because we're there to support the team. And then I hope that this section is just a beacon of support for Newcastle United and noise. And it's one of the criticisms I've seen about singing sections, which is mental, but I'll say it anyway, is like, oh no, well, it moves all of the atmosphere into one part of the ground. Well, number one, if you've got no atmosphere to begin with, so fuck.
Yeah.
And number two, the idea of this is to spread. What presumably we're hoping from this is that the Gallagher middle gets involved.
Yeah.
And it might encourage them a bit more if there's a wall of noise above them, and then the lower tier, and then the corner will still be going. Yeah. And then even the Millburn, the southwest corner in the Millburn, I don't know, maybe the Leasers will hear this noise at the other end and feel more inclined to join in. So it's not just about 243 people in Block V. That's just the beginning, I would like to imagine.
Yeah.
You know, if this goes well, if everyone gets behind the team and everyone moves there, and, you know, people who don't like it in the Gallagher, you know, there's, like you said, Tom, there's loads of other places to move the club. Work ridiculously hard to try and accommodate everybody. So, you know, there's other places that could go. They might think, oh, this isn't for me. I want to move to the Leasers, or I want to move to whatever. But, you know, I don't think it's outside the realms of possibility that we'll be sat here next summer, perhaps with a, you know, 2,000-3,000 strong singing area.
100%. But hopefully when it goes live, like at the time we're recording, where it's not at the minute.
We're under an embargo.
Yeah. it may seem like we're being a bit vague. We're not putting any information out, but it just has to go right.
We want to do good by the club.
Yeah. Yeah. But hopefully, when it does go live, there'll be that much demand that the club go, oh, hold on, you know, might think if we extend this like next season, and then people moving in, people migrating naturally by themselves, just getting in, Gallagher up there. Hopefully it just naturally floods it.
You might see people from Dortmund coming over to sample our famous black and white well.
Think of the tourism benefits for the city, yeah. We'll take 5% if you're listening to hotels. Block V, Gallagher up, that's where it's at. You know, when you listen to this, just get as close as you can. Bring your mates, tell everyone, because I think you alluded to it there, and we're all very, very grateful for the club. So we want to make this work for them as well, because we're really lucky, because there are loads of fans around the country at clubs who don't give a toss about the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And Rafa Benitez and Newcastle United do care about the home atmosphere, particularly. They're obsessed by it a little bit. They want a strong, visual, supportive St James's Park, an atmosphere that intimidates our opponents. Not the typical cliche about playing at Newcastle and Graeme Souness said and all that is, keep the crowd early for the first 20. Well, that's never going to happen again. Certainly in the singing section. Mm-hmm. So no matter how badly the game goes, it can go as badly as Portsmouth under Allardyce, we're like 3-0 down after 16 minutes. Like, we'll still be singing, I hope. I can't speak for everybody, but, you know, that is the plan. That is the plan. Is there anything else, lads, you just want to say to the listeners before we wrap it up?
I'd like to say, if you do come up there, you've got to be open-minded.
Yeah, great point.
You can't, don't come up the singer section if you just want to be where the atmosphere is. You have to be the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I think you made a good point. I should have asked this question. It's all about, you know, we're hoping to create a new culture, like you say. So that means new songs.
Yeah.
That means that people might not like every single song
that
comes out.
Exactly.
They might not like all the lyrics. They might think it's this or that or whatever. But open mind, like you say. And for me, any noise is better than no noise. And I'm a traditionalist when it comes to my football songs in terms of, like, but I'll still join in, and I'll still keep an open mind. Like, I thought the Matt Ritchie song was rubbish when I first heard it, but I still sang it, and then it's not, it's meant, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, everyone else was right. But that's the idea. Like, there's no point moving up and thinking after one or two, this is shite.
Yeah.
Like, it's a long-term project, and the aim isn't for the section to be successful, it's for the ground to be noisy, rather than just it being about, like, you know, Warham or Gallagher flags or us or the 243 people there. Like, we'll have failed ultimately in 2 or 3 years if that whole Gallagher isn't, like you say, a black and white wall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I mean, it might be quite ambitious, but we may as well be ambitious, because we have the people, we have the fan base. It's not like, if you're Sunderland, how could Sunderland do this? They've got no fans.
Yeah.
They've got no fans. They've got 30,000 ticket holders, which they then lie about.
Wheelstone Raider there.
Shout. They've got no fans. But they couldn't do this because they don't have the volume of people. I mean, Borough are a leader in this. Borough give their own fans a singing section with flags, but there's like 300 of them because they've got no fans. Like, so we've got the fan base and we've got the passion over support who want to be supportive in the way that we're talking about, through noise and through passion and through support. You know, the club have given with this olive branch to make it happen. Now it's over to us as fans. So that would be my message.
Right,
thank you very much for listening. This is a pre-recorded podcast from when the club announced the news, so don't know how relevant it is for me to listen, but it's been it's been half an hour of talking about singing and football, so I feel a bit happier in this barren summer of football. I'm not sure when the next podcast will be. We'll basically keep an ear out for stuff, but thanks again for listening, and we'll speak to you soon.